I really appreciate you being able to talk to us here today. I'm excited because we're here at Autism One, so it's like a perfect scenario just to sit down and chat a little bit about what's been going on with VAXXed. Yeah. But if you could kind of share with me, what was the impetus for VAXXed? I mean, I know the storyline, but what really got you guys interested in producing a documentary about vaccines and about the CDC whistleblower?
Well, I mean, for me, Andy and Polly had already, they'd been on this mission for obviously many, many years, and they had been working on VAXXed for about 6 months or so before I got involved. So I got into it because I was working on the daytime talks with the doctors as a producer. You know, I spent 6 years celebrating the best medicine has to offer, cutting-edge techniques, less invasive surgeries. You know, I was always into how do we do this better, you know what I mean, better medicine, better health. And then, of course, I was sort of one of the more radical producers on the show in that I always went to stories where I thought corporations were getting involved or, you know, were overly involved in getting in the way of health. So, you know, I did a story about Monsanto when the WHO ruled that glyphosate was probably carcinogenic to humans, the herbicide that's on 90% of our crops. I was able to get a debate on our show between one of the heads of toxicology at Monsanto and Jeffrey Smith, a GMO activist. So I was able to pull things off like that. So I've always sort of been challenging, you know, the status quo, I guess, and sort of the corporate takeover of things that affect our health. So when I got involved and ran into Andy and the story came about and I saw the data and I saw the proof, I saw when we have a whistleblower from our most important health agency, Dr. William Thompson, when I saw what he was saying in 4 hours of recorded interviews and then not just making these statements but backing it up with, you know, 10,000 documents including internal emails and, you know, data charts, I just sat there staring at it thinking, oh my God, this is the biggest story of my lifetime. This is the greatest medical fraud in the history of the world.
It's huge.
It's huge.
I mean, it's hard to grasp the enormity of the fraud.
Yeah.
That was exposed through the conversations with Dr. Thompson and Brian Hooker and the things that have come out since then.
Yeah. And thank God Dell did come along because we were getting slightly tearing our hair out. I mean, Andy's so academic that it was really hard to understand because he wanted all these scientific. Everything going in all different directions. So Dell came along and just made it so that the average person could understand it. So that is.
That's so important.
Thank God for Dell.
It was a perfect match. I mean, look at the Andy's brilliant and the work he'd done and the research and the science was all there. It's just, you know, I'd had the advantage of spending 6 years, you know, every week presenting scientific and medical information to millions of people, you know, every week. And so you learn tricks, you learn how to, you know, I learned how to speak science for the people. And so I really worked with Andy and you know, it was a brilliant, you know, it was a tug of war in ways because you had to understand the science had to stand up. And Andy was extremely passionate about the fact that we couldn't simplify it to the point where it couldn't stand up in court, where it, you know, that we're missing something. So that's where we had to find that balance. And I think when the movie was finally finished, we, you know, I think we all sat there and thought, wow, who made that movie? Like, that's better than all of us. Somehow we all brought the best out of each other. So it's a real collaborative
effort. The hardest thing for Dell really was how to cut it down. I mean, it was a 3-hour movie, and stuff had to go. Yeah. So that was hard because everything's important.
Hardest.
But we are the bits that we cut out, we are going to be showing everybody at some point when we get a time.
On our website and the DVD, obviously, we'll have some of the extras and things. And there's just. You know, there's so much. I mean, as you know, you could, you know, I think your approach in many ways with Truth About Cancer, I mean, vaccines would be the same way. I mean, you could just go on and on and on. You could make 10, you know, documentaries and still not get to the bottom of everything going on here.
Right.
But this movie is specific to the fraud. I mean, really, what this movie proves is that we have been lied to. And that's, you know, that's the most frustrating part is just trying to get through to people. It's really not that simple. Yeah. We're not anti-vaccine. We're not anti-health. We're not anti-science. What we're saying is science is not taking place here. Fraud is taking place. Mm. And we've got to get back to science. We've got to get back to demanding science take place. When, you know, what I find fascinating when I question, you know, doctors and pediatricians that are involved in this, and you're within a minute and a half, you realize that their entire understanding of vaccines is just because they told me so, just because they said it was safe, because they told me it was. well, do you understand how a vaccine works? Well, I know how to give a vaccine. No, but do you know how it works? Do you understand that it's not going through safety testing? Do you realize it's not categorized, a vaccine is not categorized like a pharmaceutical drug, that it doesn't have to go through the same safety tests, it's being rushed on the market? Well, no, but I mean, it's safe. And they just keep repeating this line. You're like, oh my God. Well, you know, these poor doctors really, in a way, have spent a fortune on an education that has robbed them of actual information. Right. And so you realize this fraud and this mantra of vaccines are safe. Don't talk, vaccines are safe. They're safe. They're efficacious. I mean, it's just not true. It's why you keep seeing them add more and more boosters. You see, Merck is in a court right now over the efficacy of the mumps part of the MMR vaccine. We have whistleblowers stepping forward saying, you know, we put rabbit's blood in the test to try and show antibodies. I mean, just crazy stuff's happening. And the way that the medical, the institutions are handling it, the pharmaceutical industry, is to threaten anybody that asks a question about it. Mm.
Any pro-vaccine person needs to just come on tour with us with Vax, because it is everywhere. I thought, I've been doing this for 19 years, I thought I knew every story. There cannot be any more to be told to me. And I've seen it all, mm-hmm. seen it, lived it, been there. But these stories, these kids coming out in their wheelchairs, parents giving us pictures of their child that's died from seizures, from different vaccines, the military, it's just everywhere. Even a woman told us that all her horses are completely gone. They all got shaking head syndrome from vaccines. It's so much bigger, so much bigger. I mean, autism, vaccines, know that. But there's so many other disorders and deaths.
Talk about your son, because right. I think that's probably one of the main reasons that you're involved in this.
Completely. So the main reason I work with Andy Wakefield, the main reason I'm here now, right. is because what happened to my son was so awful, so tragic. And I was so pro-vaccine, I was so follow the system. It's a very British upbringing of, you know, you do as you're told at all times. And so I didn't question, and my older daughter had all her vaccines. I didn't question it, didn't think to even think what's in it. I just assumed that this doctor had my son's wellness and best interest at heart. And so in the morning he had the vaccine, by the evening he was having the most horrific seizure.
Really?
Yeah, and for the week after that, and they said, the most important thing here is they said to us in hospital, he's had the MMR. We didn't say it was the MMR, they said, oh, what's he had that day? We said, he's had a vaccine in the morning. Oh, that'll be what it is. We see this, it's gonna be okay. It's just a common reaction to this vaccine. Give him some antibiotics, let him sleep it off, he'll be good. No, he did sleep, he slept and slept and slept. And to a degree, he's still sleeping now because he's not the kid that he should have been at 13 months when he had it. He's very, very sick. He's damaged badly. He's gonna need care for the rest of his life. Mm. So it's no joke, this vaccine injury. You know, people, they just don't understand that when they take that needle and they put it in their child, we do not know if your child is going to be okay or whether it's going to be like Billy. We don't know why this is happening. We can guess, we don't know why, but it is happening. So my advice to parents right now is, until they work it out, you've got to stay away.
Mm. How old is Billy now?
He's 20, and he's big, he's huge. You know, you can see him in Vax. He's hard worker, he's beautiful, I love him to bits, but he can get aggressive and it's frightening. Mm. And he doesn't mean to, he just doesn't understand. This is the result of a vaccine injury. This is what happens.
And they said in the hospital to you, that blows me away, they you didn't even tell them that he had the MMR. They knew, because that's common.
Yeah, they tell us what's happened to this child. What have you done today? Oh, we went to the doctor, he had his MMR vaccine. Oh, that'll be it. So no, I mean, no other conversation about what, that'll be it. We see this, it's common, he'll be fine.
Hmm. Can you imagine? I mean, who's told that? It's common. Oh, seizures, yeah, that happens. Don't worry about it. A child having a seizure, we're just supposed to accept that as, oh, that's perfectly normal?
That's not normal.
You know, that's not normal.
No,
you know?
It's not normal.
And, you know, it's astounding to me, sort of this disconnect. And I grew up a progressive liberal fighting for environment, you know, getting GMOs labeled and just trying to keep organic food, just keep our food clean, our water clean. In California, where I live, you know, we've just passed SB 277, which is a mandated vaccine law. My children can't go to school unless they're fully vaccinated, which at this point means 69 shots, you know, 69 vaccinations. It's insane. Yeah. But what is crazy to me, it's the same people that wanted GMOs labeled. It's liberal progressives and Democrats that are pushing this mandatory vaccine agenda. I can't figure it out. I don't understand why you think Monsanto's a bad guy because they put, you know, chemicals and pesticides all over your food. but you don't mind that the government's just taking ownership of your child over your best interests and said, we're going to inject your child with whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. And then you look at what's inside of these vaccines. I mean, you want GMOs labeled, they have to label what's inside your vaccine if you request it, mm-hmm. and you're not even looking at it. You're not looking at aluminum. We're talking about, you know, a neurotoxin, mercury, formaldehyde. You know, there's products get banned coming in from China because, oh my God, it's got formaldehyde in it. Yeah. What do you care? You just had your doctor just injected a ton of that into your newborn baby.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this disconnect. Just, and that's what we're trying to work. I'm trying to work on. Look, if you believe in environmental issues and you're trying to make your air clean and your water clean, this is an environmental issue. These are the same toxins you're fighting to keep out of your air that are going, you know, and that's something that will go through your nose. You eat it. That's an open system. You can purge that out of your body. We're talking about taking those toxins and putting it into your bloodstream, a closed system, where it has nowhere to go except ultimately into your brain.
Sure.
And here's the most scary thing that I had no idea about, is that when you take your child in and you say to your doctor, you know, is it safe? Well, you're assuming it's safe. And he goes, yeah, because no one takes responsibility if your child's damaged. So that's what I want to get across to these parents today. They can say, yes, it's safe, all they like. They're protected. They can do whatever they like because they're not responsible for what is about to happen to your child.
And the pharmaceutical industry is protected. I mean, I don't know if people realize it, but in 1986, they passed the Vaccine Injury Compensation Act. What this did was basically the pharmaceutical industry said, we're getting so many lawsuits, we have so many kids getting injured, and we're tired of getting sued, so we're going to stop making vaccines unless the government protects us. They blackmailed our government, saying, you have to protect us from liability. And so Ronald Reagan signed the Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, which ultimately says you cannot sue a vaccine manufacturer if their product injures your child. And then right after that, that's when you see, you know, we all got maybe 7, maybe 10 vaccines as kids, you know, and we're healthy, right? It's working. I want to ask parents, why would you change something, you know, that's working? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right. Well, you can see right after the Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, we go from 10 to 69 vaccines all of a sudden. All these brand new, more 270 vaccines are in the pipeline right now. Mm-hmm. This is a perfect business model. They can't be sued by a product that, I mean, it's like putting out cars that don't have brakes. What do I care? You can't sue me. What difference does it make?
Right.
It's
not unlike that. I love that analogy because it's like owning a car company that makes cars without brakes and also owning the hospital that they can treat the people in if they get injured.
Right.
Because isn't it repeat business?
Well, absolutely. So you injure the child. Now they have to use hospitals and medicines and medications the rest of their life. A lot of these autistic children are on like 18, 20 different medications.
Hardcore psychiatric drugs, mindless drugs is what they put these poor kids on. And then they wonder why they've got the ones that are high functioning, terrible suicidal tendencies, do crazy things, and it's because they're drugged up. And the parents, they might as well just drug the parents as well, because parents are so tired, they're so exhausted, and they end up in the doctors for whatever reason. I've been there to the doctor, not for anything to do with me, to do with my child, and they say, oh my gosh, you look really tired, I'm going to give you something to sleep, I'm going to give you something to wake up, I'm going to give you something to deal with your depression, your anxiety, your sadness, everything. Here's a pile of drugs for you. Oh, and your kids, your other kids that don't, they look sad, the siblings look sad, let's give them some as well.
Wow.
We've got a drug for everything now. You go to your doctor with the tiniest comment and you will be given a piece of paper, a prescription for that.
Which leads to really what people need to understand is the future of the pharmaceutical industry is vaccines. It's getting harder and harder for them to be able to make money off of drugs for several reasons. Too much competition. There's 5 or 6 different versions of the drug going at, you know, the same disease from different companies. They're competing with each other. But even more so, one of the biggest problems you have is in order to test a drug which has to go through very rigorous long-term safety studies that vaccines do not. In order to do that, you have to find people that aren't already on a drug. In a test group, they have to not already be on a drug. And we're now at a place in America where, you know, 1 in 2 are on drugs, on one drug or another. So just finding a test group is getting extremely expensive. Now, on the other hand, you have vaccines which don't have to go through long-term safety studies. You don't have to find test groups. You can just, you know, the Hep B vaccine that we put into a day-one-old baby spent 4 days being tested before it was put on the market. I mean, What are we talking about? Grandpa's Viagra went through multiple years of testing. Does it cause cancer? Does it have other side effects? We don't do that with vaccines. We just go, oh, hey, look, it creates the antibodies we're looking for. Stick it in there. Put it in a day one old baby. And then you look at it, and I just found out 5 or 6 days ago, CBS just reported we have more infants die on the first day of life in the United States than all of the other industrial nations combined.
Wow.
And then you ask yourself, why would that be? Well, one of the only countries that on the very first day of your life, hello, welcome to the world, you're gasping for your first breath, and we're injecting you with a sexually transmitted disease. Welcome to the United States of America. I mean, and that injection not only is a sexually transmitted disease that you will not come in contact with until you are actually sexually active or you're sharing needles, but it's also packed with aluminum, a neurotoxin, in a baby that is literally gasping for its first breaths on this earth.
Wow, that's criminal.
It's criminal. It's insane. And they know that this vaccine doesn't even last for more than 6 years, so it literally is never even going to protect against the thing it's being injected in this baby for.
And the saddest thing of all this is the parents have no clue. The same as me when I did that. No clue, total trust. And that for me is the most worrying thing, because now the schedule is ridiculous. America's schedule is ridiculous compared to the UK schedule. And the UK schedule is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I come on this tour with Vax is because if I can just get through to one mother who doesn't know Billy's story, and they can just think about it. I mean, I'm not saying don't vaccinate. I mean, Polytommy on my own probably would say that right now. But I just want them to know what happened when we didn't. And my other advice is go and find yourself a chiropractor. Hang out with the chiropractic community. They are great people. Look at their kids. They've got the healthiest, most beautiful. They're fit. Everything about a chiropractic family is perfect. They say about this vax and vax. As far as I'm concerned, it's been done, that study. The chiropractic ones, they're the total unvaccinated kids. And our kids, how many do you want? How many do you want of the vaccinated kids?
Right.
They're stuffed. And even if they haven't got autism, they've got something else. They've either got peanut allergy asthma, bowel
ADD,
issues.
ADHD, right. Diabetes, psoriasis, autoimmune issues.
I mean, eye issues, hearing issues.
When I worked on the doctors, we literally said, this is a medical fact. They are saying in medicine in this country, this will be the first generation of children that does not live to be as old as their parents. Why would we listen to this system?
Yeah.
Why would we listen to any of these doctors? Why would we trust them? We also know that the third leading cause of death now is hospitals themselves. Between 250 and 400,000 people every year in America are killed in hospitals. Die for reasons other than they went into the hospital. Medical mistakes, MRSA, getting bacterial infections that can't be stopped. I mean, the list goes on and on. Yeah. I mean, and put that in perspective. We had like 65,000 people die in Vietnam, and the 60s erupted, and people were screaming and yelling and marching in the streets. We have 250 to 400,000 people dying in hospitals for no reason, and nobody even cares.
Every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I saw that. It was a story that broke a couple of weeks ago. I saw the mainstream.
Yeah.
We're covering that. My mouth hit the floor, because I've been talking about that for 10 years.
Yeah.
Iatrogenic deaths. And now that's mainstream that's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, Del. I don't understand. I mean, in a state like California that's crunchy granola to the core, and, we've seen the push for GMO labeling and just a lot of good stuff coming from California. I was so shocked that SB 277 was passed. Man, and you said it's by the same people that were pushing or the same groups. I don't get that. I mean, I know that there's a lot of money in vaccines. I mean, there's clearly a lot of money in vaccines. So would that be one of the reasons maybe that this is going on from the same people that were pushing for GMO labeling? Maybe they've been bought off? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think my belief in looking at it now, as I said, I grew up a Democrat, a progressive liberal. I've always been about health. When you really look at this disconnect, what I really think it's coming down to is, for some reason, it's science. Democrats have labeled themselves, I think that we're the party of science. and Republicans are the party of religious fanaticism. I mean, that, you know, that's how when you, I'm just saying that from a Democratic point of view, that's how my friends speak about it, right? And so they've got this idea that somehow consensus is science. We have consensus on environmental science, which I agree with. I can tell it's getting warmer. The storms are getting worse. I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm out there saying, you know, I want to have cleaner air, all of that. But the consensus around vaccines is just like tobacco science. You know, would we have fought for tobacco science? There was a time when every doctor was saying smoking cigarettes is good for you, or at least it's not bad for you. I mean, that existed, and the industry was just paying for tons and tons of science to be done that supported that issue. That's what's happening in vaccines. You know, I'm not anti-science, I'm pro-science. And that's why our movie Vaxxed is so important. This is not a story that's anti-vaccine or saying anything about vaccines, except that one of our top scientists at the most important scientific health agency in the world, the CDC, the leader of all health in the world, this scientist has come forward and given us proof that they've committed fraud. Yeah. They've hidden the fact that one of these vaccines causes and can cause, it'll be causally related to autism. I mean, that's a shocking discovery. And so if they're lying about that, what else are they lying about? And people say, well, what about all the other studies? I mean, you can go ahead and start looking at all the other studies, and I'll do a documentary about them too. But right now is what is important is this is the most important study ever done because it was the last study ever paid for by the United States. Mm. Over 10 years ago, 2004, this study came out, this fraudulent study where they lied and covered up the fact that the vaccine was causing autism. And this paper, this study was the one they used to say, we're not paying for any more studies now. That's it. Case closed. Vaccines are safe. Do not cause autism. And the United States government hasn't paid for another study since. Wow. And now you think, wow, this scientist is coming forward saying we lied? We're 10 years behind now on the investigation of vaccines.
Yeah.
We're 10 years behind. We're in the dark ages. And then you look at the numbers. We've gone from 1 in 10,000 children with autism in the 1970s, 80s, to now we're at 1 in 45 children based on a poll last year. And you talk to doctors that are directly involved in this, they're like, it looks like 1 in 25 children this year maybe, you know, end up on the autism spectrum. Mm. And in our film, we have an MIT mathematician and scientist that just graphs out, just based on the CDC's numbers, where this is going. If it is not stopped, if this exponential rise does not stop, we'll be at 1 in 2 children by 2032. That's the end of a society.
That's amazing.
Well, you will either have autism or you will be a carer. And let's remember, autism is not Rain Man. It is not savants walking around doing amazing things. It the kind of autism we're talking about, the vaccine-induced autism, horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific. So most of these adults need 3 to 1. That's what we're talking about. So we're not even going to have enough people to look after the adults with the vaccine
injury. You know, here's the thing that's just ironic to me, is that if you question vaccines, if you just ask if they're, let's see the proof that they're safe and effective, you're called anti-vax, anti-science. But isn't the scientific method questioning?
Yes.
I mean, you know, just a side note, the video of you chasing Dr. Pan down the hall. I can't believe the guy was instrumental in getting mandatory vaccines passed in California, and he won't even answer questions.
Right.
That's the thing that is so unscientific on their part to me, is that they will not have a debate about it.
Right.
We should be able to debate anything.
Right.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about it, and they won't.
And just as you pointed out, I mean, if you've ever taken a science class, the first day in science, what they teach you is science is never settled. That you must always keep questioning. We wouldn't have Einsteins. You'd never have, where's the new ideas come from? You wouldn't have scientific breakthroughs.
Would still be flat.
The world would still be flat. The Earth would still be the center of the universe.
Right.
You know, it's the constant question that keeps science advancing.
Yeah.
And when you hear this statement from almost every politician and every scientist, all the way down to Sanjay Gupta, you know, who we all trust, the science is settled. That's the least scientific statement you could ever make.
Right. It's not settled.
It's not settled. It can't be settled. That statement is anti-science.
By definition.
By definition.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so, you know, we have a major problem on our hands. Mm-hmm. We will be, you know, this year alone, roughly 100,000 children born into this country will end up on the autism spectrum. Mm. We're building cities of autistic children that are going to become autism adults. And if you think about it, the CDC says it costs $5 million to raise each one of those kids all the way through their life.
This is going to bankrupt this nation. It's going to bankrupt our school system. We're seeing it in our schools. People think, oh, I don't have an autistic child. It didn't affect me. Oh, really?
It does.
All of your honors classes have disappeared in your public schools. And in your private schools, the same thing's going to happen. And all of that money is trickling into the expansion of special needs classes, which are growing exponentially in every school. Mm. And then you say, we are causing this. This scientist, this is what we say in VAX. This is what a scientist from the CDC is telling us. We have a problem, and we're creating it. This is a man-made disease.
Preventable.
Yeah, this is a crime against humanity.
It is.
So, that's why what you're doing is so important. So I just really appreciate what you've done with VAX, and my thoughts are with you, with your son. But
thank you.
Thank you for what you're doing, because you've turned this is your passion now. This is your mission. Much the same with me with losing my parents to cancer. This is your mission with autism. And it's really all one mission. It's a mission to make the world healthier.
That's it.
And so that's why.
Well, we're saying the same thing, though, with the cancer and the autism. We're being lied to.
We are being lied to.
Right.
And that's why the VAX is so important, because it discovers or it uncovers the fact and brings to light the fact that there's not just mistake. There's outright fraud going on
that's
at
right.
the levels of government at the highest levels.
Right. Highest level.
Yeah.
Yeah.